Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
I didn't come to call home to God folks who are convinced they're already good with Him. I came to call home to God exactly those folks who realize the mess they made of their lives and to be the gift to them of God's healing fellowship, His salutary communion.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. What an awesome story we covered last time. Jesus packs the place he's staying in Capernaum, and 4 men show up carrying their friend who is completely paralyzed, lying on a pallet. They can't get to Jesus because of the huge crowd that is listening as he preaches the word, but they won't be deterred, even if they have to do something, well, crazy. So they haul their friend up onto the roof, bust a hole open, and drop him right down at Jesus' feet. Jesus loves their faith, which is so visible by their actions. He tells the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Remember the horror that filled the hearts of the scribes, and I suspect the disappointment that filled that young man. But Jesus wasn't done. He's making a point. He asks, which is easier, to heal or to forgive? And remember, if you think forgiveness is just empty words, impossible to demonstrate, you're going to say, well, you're forgiven is an easy thing to say. But Jesus knows that his forgiveness is blood bought, no easy matter at all. He then heals the man and sends him home so that they might know that he has power even here on earth to forgive sins because he is, after all, God's Son in the flesh. The crowd was astounded, and we learned that forgiveness is what will enable us to rise from our ultimate paralysis, death, at the end. A reading from St. Mark, the 2nd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." St. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into today's selection from St. Mark? Let's get to it. Verse 13. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. How many times does Jesus resort to the lakeside? It just seems to be a spot on earth he dearly loves. And there beside the lapping waters, the people find him again. And soon the crowd is swelling, and he teaches them there. St. Mark, as usual, is scant on the details when it comes to what Jesus actually taught. But I think here the point is that folks were not just showing up to watch the miracle show. No doubt some did. But I think folks who were just chasing the miracles would yawn and turn away when they realized that Jesus was set on teaching the word. So I think you see here a spirit-wrought hunger for the spiritual nourishment he was providing. We'll see this again and again in this gospel. The people hungered for what Jesus had to say. And sometimes they'd even ignore the hunger of their tummies just to keep on listening to him. Verse 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. So this occurred after he had taught for a while. He passes along and Levi comes into his purview. The son of Alphaeus, Matthew, as we briefly covered the last show, is sitting there doing his business, collecting the tax money. But Jesus decides to add him to his growing band of apostles. So he says, "Follow me." Same as the invite to the fishermen earlier. Now Jesus, we know, was a poor man as far as worldly possessions went, and due to the nature of the job, Matthew or Levi, was not. He was likely rather rich. Yet look at what happens. The greatest of the Lutheran dogmaticians of the 16th century, Martin Chemnitz, says of this calling, "Jesus showed the power and efficacy of his word in the calling of Matthew in such a way that the wealthy publican abandoned everything and immediately followed Christ, a pauper. You see, before this, he showed the power and effective operation of his word first in healing ailments, second in remitting sins before God. Third, now in the case of Matthew, he shows the crowds the power and effectiveness of his word, which they had heard in his discourse, power and effectiveness in calling, enlightening, drawing, converting, and changing for the better the hearts and wills of people." Isn't that beautiful? Verse 15. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. "Follow me," he said. And then apparently he led the way straight to Levi's own house. And apparently it wasn't just Levi who obeyed this call of Jesus, but lots of his disreputable friends did too. They came with him and maybe shyly slipped in at the table and listened to Jesus as he kept on teaching them. And yes, we'd love to know exactly what the dinner conversation was all about that day. Maybe it was, "Okay, I'm in, I'm following, but where are we headed?" "Oh, we're headed finally to my father's house. But Master, where is that?" "Oh, you just stick with me. I'll show you the way. In fact, I'll be the way." Pure conjecture. But it's the sort of question I think I would have asked if I had been in Levi's shoes at that moment. That or, "But Lord, why do you want me to follow you? I'm not a very good Jew. I've not lived my life as the law demands." And you can guess what he'd have said to that. "That's why you need to be with me, Levi." Verse 16. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Whatever the conversation at the dinner table was about, we don't have to guess at the conversation that took place outside of Levi's house. Just as the scribes of the Pharisees had been aghast when Jesus forgave the sins of the paralytic, so they are aghast as they see where he headed and what he's doing there. after the meal when Jesus and his disciples were leaving, and Matthew is tagging right along with them, they sidle up to some of those earlier disciples. My guess is they accosted James and John, but it's only a guess. What is he doing? Why would he go in to eat with tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't he realize how these folks live? Now, remember, Jesus is, for the most part, doctrinally a Pharisee. They liked a lot of what he believed and taught, but they sure were not liking how he was behaving at the moment. It seemed to them reckless, morally questionable. Why would a righteous man, Tzaddik, why would he be hanging around with sinners? Verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." When Jesus heard it, I take that to be heard from the disciples to whom the question had originally been put. He's quite unflummoxed. He simply explains, "Look, I'm a doctor. I go to people who are sick. They're the ones who need me. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." And I think you need to hear that as, "I didn't come to call home to God folks who are convinced they're already good with him. I came to call home to God exactly those folks who realize the mess they made of their lives and to be the gift to them of God's healing fellowship, his salutary communion. I eat and drink with them that they might be healed." The man many regard as the greatest theologian of the church ever, the 4th century Father Gregory of Nazianzen, who presided over the Second Council of Nicaea in 381, he wrote these delightful words. "When Jesus is attacked for mixing with sinners and taking as his disciples a despised tax collector, one might ask, what could he possibly gain by doing so? Only the salvation of sinners. To blame Jesus for mingling with sinners would be like to blame a physician for stooping down over suffering and putting up with vile smells in order to heal the sick. So, people loved by God, over the salvation of Jesus Christ, there's a very clear sign that reads, 'For sinners only, the righteous need not apply.'" I remember years ago putting that up on a sign at church, and one of my members was horrified and insisted that it had to come down. I remember being absolutely astounded. I mean, every single Sunday, without fail, this man was in church confessing himself to be nothing but a poor, miserable sinner who deserved God's temporal and eternal punishment. But when it was baldly set before him, he balked and didn't want folks to think he was a sinner in need of mercy and attending church that was only for similar screw-ups. Sigh. I do believe he died in the faith, a Christian, but he made the same mistake the scribes of the Pharisees did in today's gospel reading. He imagined Jesus was for good people, not for the screw-ups. We have a hymn that I dearly love to sing. "Jesus sinners doth receive. Oh, may all this saying ponder, who in sin's delusion live and from God and heaven wander. Here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. We deserve but grief and shame, yet his words, rich grace revealing, pardon, peace, and life proclaim. Here our ills have perfect healing. Firmly in these words believe, Jesus sinners doth receive." That's where we're going to call it quits for today, people loved by God. Next time, Jesus will tackle an inquiry about fasting and the apparent lack of the practice among his chosen followers. In answering that, Jesus, for the first time in this gospel, will reveal that he is not only son, but bridegroom. And he will introduce a distinction between the joyous days of his traveling among the disciples here in this world and what will happen when he's taken away from them. Old piety just can't quite fit in the overflowing joy of what God is up to in his beloved Son, our heavenly bridegroom. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.